This is Andy Thomas from the Masculine Journey podcast, where we discover what it means to be a wholehearted man. Your Chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Before you leave for college, career, and eternity, Todd Von Elms is the author. He's a longtime friend. And the first time he and I ever had lunch, it was at a restaurant in Raleigh in the North Hills area called Chewy's. And I'm hooked on Chewy's, Todd. Thank you for that. So we're interviewing you. And your agent said, if you're going to talk to Todd on your national radio show, Stu, it's going to have to be at Chewy's. So here we are.
Well, that's good. And there's a side note with Chewy's. So if you know anyone, if you know a Spanish person and their name is Jesus, they actually go by Chewy.
Come on.
And Chewy, the mascot for this restaurant, is actually a fish. And
no
if you take
way.
It back in church yesterday, say that.
There's a lot going on there.
So there's more going on than you realize. It's more than just a queso in this cheese.
So everyone, you're listening to some wonderful music. You're hearing the crunch of a chip. You know, I'm going to do a chip right now. Listen to this. Mm. Oh, man, that's good. Salsa, queso, guaca, and a powerful book that you are going to want to read. We've talked to Todd before. Todd, statistics as high as 60, 70, 80% of our kids go to college. They lose their faith, drop out of church. Some of them don't come back. You've been to a lot of schools. You've been educated all the way up to the doctoral level. You've been headmaster at schools. Our wonderful friends at St. David's for years, you were there in spiritual leadership. It's had different roles, headmaster, consultant. Why did you write this book? Tell us, everyone, your passion right out of the gate here.
Well, let's go back to the statistics there. There's 60, 70, how many walk away. I think it's misleading in that I think so many of the young people really don't have the foundation in place. So we think they go to college, they look like a deer caught in the headlights, but the reality is many of them don't have much to walk away from. And I hear that time and time again. And, you know, we can look at it as parents. I think, you know, we're responsible as parents to model what it looks like to follow Christ, to be in the Word every day, to pray for and with our kids. And the reality is for a lot of us, even as Christian parents, we're not doing that. We're not expecting them. We're not making this a priority in our own lives, and therefore they're modeling what they're seeing. And sometimes we drop them off at youth group or we take them to Christian school and expect them to disciple our kids. Now, it's a partnership. We need each other. It takes more than a village, right, for each of our children. So we've got to work on this together, but I think we've got to model that ourselves. But I've been so burdened by what I've seen in youth groups, Christian schools throughout the country, certainly the college campuses, once they get there and then it says they walk away, if there was much to walk away from. And so I'm burdened by this.
Yeah.
I think that we've got a major problem on our hands. The universities are having more impact on our young people than the churches in many cases. Not always. There are some strong churches in college towns and things like that. But then there are many that don't even have a minister that is called to work with the college age of the young adults.
Yeah, like a faith community there. So going back to what you said, you know, a good friend of mine has always said this to me. Every child is homeschooled,
right,
in a very real sense, because you know the mom and dad have got to disciple their kids. That's
right.
A function of the family. The church is building into the family, the function of the local church. And there are indeed godly Christian schools where the professors are very, you know, much a part of building into the kids and turning them into kingdom warriors. But a lot of kids don't go to those kind of schools.
Right.
And even if they go to that school, they still need to be equipped and prepared. So your book really has a pretty broad audience. You just told me before we started the interview, turn the mics on here, that you have a Muslim student. Someone gave them your book.
Reading the book right now. I mean, people are curious. They're searching. I mean, look, you know Jesus Christ or you don't. Thankfully, we do. We're ready for whatever comes our way. When he gave the Great Commission, he said, go and make disciples. He also said, I'll be with you always. But in the middle of that, it's fascinating. I actually read this last night. He said, he comes together, they're where he told them to be, and it said they worshiped him, but some doubted. Now, wait a minute. So some of the most devout, wow, closest followers of Jesus had doubts. Let's face it, when we see what's going on in the world today, sometimes we have doubts. Why did God let that happen? Why do you exist? If you're all-powerful, all-loving, why did you allow it? Do you care? Sometimes we feel like our prayers are hitting the ceiling. So in this book, you know, I deal with how do we know the Bible can be trusted? What about the skeptics and the things that say this is some archaic, you know, work of literature that doesn't fit the culture, certainly doesn't fit our agendas for many of us, right? And yet, it still has withstood the test of time. It's the best-selling book in the world, year after year. but sadly, it's also the most neglected one, right?
Yeah, and that's what I love about your book, because I actually read your book to my daughter, Joy.
That's awesome.
And the more I got into it, the more I'm like, whoa. I said, well, we'll knock out a couple chapters tonight real quick, you know, for bed. Well, she never reads. Like, you're going deep. You're going into anthropology. You're going into apologetics. You're going into presuppositionalism. You're going into deep worldview
textual
stuff.
Criticism.
Textual criticism. How we got the Bible. How can we trust the Bible? What is the canonization process?
Yes.
And if you can't, you know, I heard a speaker say recently, I think it was on the Truth Network, he says, look, all of you say, well, I don't trust the Bible. Well, half of them haven't read it. But you're taking people deeper in your book before you leave for college, career, and eternity.
Right.
So really, anyone that picks up your book is going to have a almost like a mini masters of theology or apologetics or, you know, biblical studies to help ground them in creation versus evolution. Atheism. What do you say to an atheist?
Yeah, absolutely. The second chapter deals with rejecting God. Why do people reject God? Well, did you know that some of the first Christians were actually called atheists? And the reason why is because in the polytheistic Roman culture, you were to revere the emperor. Some saw the emperor as a god, but there were all these other gods. You know, Paul in Acts, he stands there on Mars Hill and he says, men of Athens, I see you're very religious. I see this temple and that temple. And he says, but let me tell you about the temple to the unknown God, Jesus Christ, who does not live, you know, in a temple, right? And I think it's important that we realize, you know, we do have doubts along the way, but I also think it's important for people to know that it's okay to not be okay. And you need to find people in your life that you can ask those tough questions and that are going to accept you, love you the way you are, meet you where they are, but then challenge you to get into God's Word, but to study history too. Because the reality is we'll study what God has done in Christ while he was alive on earth, living this perfect, sinless life, dying,
I love it,
rising from the dead, overcoming, proving to us that our sin's been defeated. Hell and death have been defeated. The same spirit that lives in each of us is empowering
we
us.
We shouldn't be afraid. We shouldn't be, have us, like Paul said, you know, don't have a spirit of timidity. You know, God's not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but a spirit of power.
Right.
And of a sound mind. And I spoke at a Christian school chapel, my kids' Christian school, at Calvary the other day. And one of the professors, he and I were talking afterward about how important it is to know God, not just know about him. And with tears in his eyes, he said, you know, I'm dealing with a kid who's a former student, graduate, gone off to college, and they're really starting to embrace atheism, and they're frustrated.
Right.
But he said they keep coming back and asking me questions.
That's right.
And he and I both, right there in that moment, just kind of had a little celebration, a little wink, a little nod that, hey, thank God that you, sir, are a safe person. I want kids to come to me and say, man, I'm struggling. I'm struggling with the issue of homosexuality. I'm struggling with agnosticism. I'm struggling with what about other religions, and what about these things? Because when they're asking those questions, they're giving us an open door into their life.
Absolutely.
And how many of us are being equipped? So you really fundamentally are equipping young people, parents, a whole culture to drill deeper into the truth of God's Word, because we are to be playing offense. And but we're also supposed to have a good defense for the faith that's within us.
Exactly. Yeah. When you see that in Scripture about being prepared in season and out of season, to give a defense that hope to continue, the faith that you possess. It says to do so with gentleness and respect.
Mm.
So I think we're to be bold, yes, and the Spirit does empower us. But also sometimes we just need to listen. I've found with young people that they come into my office or we have this conversation. I just ask questions and I let them talk. And 20 minutes later, I haven't said much other than nodding. And they'll say, wow, you helped me so much, I figured it out. And the reality is, all I was doing was listening. And I think there's a ministry in listening, and sometimes as pastors, but also as parents, and the fact that as Christians, each one of us is a minister, is a missionary, we need to listen. Because if we're not listening to others, it won't be long before we're not listening to God either.
Wow.
Right?
Wow. Okay, we're gonna hold on that. We're going to come back and talk to Todd Von Elms, his book, Before You Leave for College, Career, and Eternity. I'm kind of enjoying, I've never done my show from a Tex-Mex place, Chewy's, but we're in here, we got our mics on, and this is heavy-duty stuff, man.
Good.
And I appreciate you being on, I appreciate you writing this book.
Absolutely.
Is there a website folks can learn more, a little more about the book?
You can go to toddvonhelms.com.
Okay,
.com. T-O-D-D-V-O-N-H-E-L-M-S, toddvonhelms.com. You can get the book on Amazon.
Okay, it's available everywhere books are sold.
Yeah,
this really is a tool. It's a great graduation present or just a gift for a young person in school, out of school, anyone. And really anyone will enjoy this. And it is deep, but it's important.
It's accessible.
Yes, I love it. And what do you say to an atheist who says to you, God doesn't exist? What do you say to someone that says, you know, more blood has been spilt by religion than any other thing. Well, Todd has some strong opinions about that, grounded in fact. When we come back, will you tell us about that, Todd?
Absolutely.
Okay. More with Todd Von Elms after this quick break in his book, Before You Leave, for College, Career, and Eternity. Eternal truths that you can hang your hat on with this man of God. And we're going to ask people who you are, too. I want you to share a little bit about what you got you this, because you're one of the smartest people I know. This is one of my buddies that I call when I'm stuck. Or I text him, and he always gives me some good advice. More on Truth Talk. I'm Stu Epperson right after this. And we'll take a picture here for Chewy's. And I'm with Mark, our awesome team member in the Raleigh-Durham Chapel Hill area, one of the fastest growing areas in America, who handles all the Truth Network stations here. What a great man of God, too. So we'll take a picture of all three of us here in a second. There you are in the classroom, and the teacher gets up and says, you believe in God? Maybe they take the Bible and throw it on the ground, as I've heard happen before, and say, God is dead. Quit wasting your time. Religion is just a weak, sympathetic coping mechanism. But Todd Von Elms, that's not true, and you wrote a book called Before You Leave, for College, Career, and Eternity. What lit your fire on this? Because you've seen kids struggle. You have a heart. You've worked with young people at St. David's School all over the country. You got kids of your own.
Right. And I struggled with it. I remember at the University of Texas in Austin, this large state secular school, 50,000 students. I walk into that classroom. It's the Bible, English, and American Literature. And this professor does come in. He slams the Bible on the desk and says, okay, all of you Bible thumpers and holy rollers, this is our textbook, and we're going to approach it as literature, not as the inspired word of Almighty God. And he said, how many of you in here are Christian? Half of us, you know, raised the hand. And he said, well, how many of you are Catholic? How many of you are Protestant? He said, well, let's open the Bible, this Revised Standard Version that, you know, that we've assigned as your text. So I opened it up, and I hadn't even looked at it prior to that class. And he said, how many books are in your Bible? And so from what I remember growing up, I said 66. He says, but wait a minute. The Bible utilized by Catholics here has the Apocrypha. It's those extra 13 or 14 books, depending on how it's divided, that were written during the intertestamental time period between the Old and the New Testaments. He said, so, Protestants, you've got 14 more to memorize. So we start there. It throws you for a loop, right?
Yeah.
And I think that it's so imperative that we do know how the Bible was formed. When and by whom? Can it be trusted? What about the things that the critics say about it? Well, for many of us, we don't get into any of this until we get to college, right? And that's kind of the battleground for the mind.
Todd, who is Todd Von Elms? Answer that question.
I'm a sinner saved by grace. Without the grace of God, I wouldn't even be alive, right? Sometimes people say, oh, I think God's punished me. And I said, no, he's not, because if that was the case based on your actions and sin, you'd be dead.
Wow.
You know, think about that every day. His grace is new.
And so you came to Christ. Were you younger when you came to the Lord? Tell us your testimony a little bit.
So I was 8 years old when I came to faith, actually in a Methodist church, and from the Baptist brethren there, I was immersed.
Yeah.
I'm safe.
So 8 years old. So you never had the biker gang experience or any of that other stuff that we need to hear about?
Not necessarily. But then in college, of course, you question everything.
That's right.
Everything.
Yeah.
You're curious.
So you went through kind of a crisis of faith yourself.
Absolutely. College really, really shook everything.
So really, maybe you're writing this book Before You Leave, for College, Career, and Eternity. You're writing into a younger Todd Von Elms. You're writing into when you were that
age.
Absolutely.
A lot of what I talk about is my own experience.
Wow.
I thought, you know, I know God, I know the Bible, and I guess what I really didn't. I mean, I knew a few scripture verses. I had the books of the Bible memorized. I didn't know the context. I didn't know how it applied to my life.
You take for granted. So many truths that we taught.
And we all do it, and we don't know really until it's challenged. And C.S. Lewis said that you can't wholeheartedly believe something unless it's first been challenged. So you've had those doubts, and you've worked through them. And that's what I try to do with the book, is I invite the conversation. There's questions at the end of each chapter to help people to go deeper. Oh, and I deal with topics that are seldom discussed anymore. Is there really a literal devil? Is this not just a figment of imagination or a cartoon character or Dana Carvey's church lady character? We all have this education and this idea, but what does the Bible say? What is history upheld? We hear sermons all the time about the veracity of Scripture and the importance of family and discipleship, but what about the enemy opposed to all of them? Is it the angel of life described, or is it the roaring lion? It's easy to, you know, dismiss the roaring lion, those on the mission field, those in the portal cities where craziness is going on.
Yeah.
They don't need convincing that there is a spiritual realm and there's a demonic. But what about those of us that are, you know, things are seemingly going well? I mean, here in the West, right? In America. And I think we're really being blinded or deceived.
Yeah.
I think it's more the angel of life description that's there. And it comes. If you don't have to be depressed, lonely, whatever, to feel the temptation or whatever, sometimes it may come at the height of success. that's the thing that causes those to fall. How often do we hear, even sadly, about, you know, leading Christian figures or pastors that they have a moral lapse in judgment, right? And oftentimes it's because there was a lack of accountability.
And sometimes people use that to try to discredit the whole faith.
Absolutely.
And what you're trying to build, you're trying to build our faith with your book, going back to the foundation of Scripture, of truth, and solid polemics and apologetics. Now, we're going to pray. Tell everyone what just got said in front of you. The sizzle you hear, we're at Chewy's, this restaurant in North Raleigh, in the North Hills area. And I'm with Todd Von Elms, his favorite restaurant. So I said, you know what? His agent's like, if you're going to interview this guy, it's got to be at Chewy's. So here I am, Stu Everson, Truth Talk. So we thank the Lord for the food. Todd, real quick, tell us. That atheist professor is staring you behind bespectacled eyes. He is attacking the faith. He's saying God doesn't exist. You guys are nuts. He's a full-blown Darwinist. What do you do a whole chapter on atheism. Yeah. Talk about that briefly. I don't want to give it all away. I want people to get the book and read it. But
so
what do you say?
The story's not in the book, but it's something I heard recently by Adrian Rogers.
Okay.
Memphis pastor.
Sure.
And something that he said was he sits down on a plane. He's reading a book. The gentleman next to him says, you know, what are you reading? And he says, oh, it's a book about God. And he goes, oh, I hate God. And everyone's looking around, and the guy was really angry. And he thought, oh, I'll cool it, I'll pray, read some more, whatever. And then he thought about it. He turns to the guy and he said, you know, you said you hate God. And he said, you know what? I know that you really don't. And the guy looks at him and goes, what do you mean you don't know that I hate him? He goes, I know you don't hate him because I know you don't know him well enough to hate him.
Oh, wow.
The version of God that I think that you're saying you hate, if you tell me more about this, he goes, guess what? I may hate that version of God too. And I think that's the reality for most people. When we reject, the people that reject God, they typically had a negative experience, okay? We know there's all forms of abuse. We know that people sometimes manipulate the scriptures. We know that sometimes, you know, the scriptures are used in a judgmental way to, you know, you do this and this and don't do that. And there's little grace. Right? And I think sometimes people had that bad experience. Because you think about your own life, and there's that comment or phrase I heard along the way that says, only the Christian shoot our wounded. And sometimes the people that should be showing us the most love and grace and support are the ones that sometimes can come across as the most judgmental. And I think sometimes when we see these, you know, Christian leaders fall, you know, the thing I think about is not only do we need to pray for them, but we need to also realize that could be us very easily. And at some point in life it may be, right? We've all fallen in that. And I think sometimes with atheists, you know, you're trying to make sense of the world. I mean, are we?
And
just,
they come from, they're humans, they have struggles.
Right.
They may have had some abuse or some challenges in their childhood that led into this, but the flaw, the intellectual flaw of that, which you point out in your book, is starting to get around, is that to say I'm an atheist means that I'm professing that I know everything there is to know. And I don't know anyone that would admit that they know everything epistemology, the knowledge of everything.
Right.
No one knows everything. So if I say I'm an atheist and I know everything in the universe to eliminate the existence of God.
Right.
That is probably one of the most, I don't want to put anyone down, but it's probably one of the most ludicrous positions you could have. Which is why a lot of folks go to the agnostic side, which
absolutely
means, you know, I don't think
there
you can.
There is a possibility that there may be
the door open. But
God,
your book tackles it all. I want to encourage everyone to get it. We're out of time. You're a blessing. Thank you. But I'm with Todd Von Elms.
And I want to close with a quote from the great St. Augustine, who was not always a saint. In fact, he lived for anything and everything other than the glory of God.
Yeah, right.
This guy was a hedonist. Times 10. I mean, he got into every religion.
What a testimony he has. Yes, sir.
Concubine. I mean, all this stuff, right? And then God rescued him. God arrested him. And he said, oh God, you've made us for yourselves. You've made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee. And the reality of this, Stu and Mark, is that until someone comes to know Jesus Christ for who he really is, they're going to be restless.
Wow.
And they're going to define whatever defense mechanism they can, whether it's saying they don't believe or it's this, that, or whatever. But once you find Christ and you know him as his Lord and Savior, you're going to realize how much your treasure, because he is your treasure. Amen.
This is the Truth Network.
One of our generous sponsors here at the Truth Network has come under fire. Fire from the enemy. Fire for standing up for family values. Actually, one of the biggest supporters of the movie Unplanned that talked about the horrors of abortion. Yes, it's Mike Lindell. You've heard me talk about his pillows for a long, long time, and no doubt big business is responding to Mike Lindell and all this generosity for causes for the kingdom by trying to shut down his business. You can't buy his pillows at Kohl's anymore. You can't get them on the Amazon. Or you can't get them at Costco. They're attempting to close his business because he stood up for kingdom values. What a chance to respond, especially if you need a pillow. Oh, I've had mine now for years and years and years and still fluffs up as wonderful as ever. Queen size pillows are just $29.98. Be sure and use the promo code TRUTH or call 1-800-944-5396. That's 1-800-944-5396. Use the promo code TRUTH for values on any MyPillow product to support truth.